My number one job as a dad, is to nurture, deepen my relationship with God, to walk with Him, to know Him, to love God with all my heart, and to lead my kids to do the same.
I'm Jim Burns. There are lots of things that can prevent a child from making his or her relationship with God a top priority. I call them attractive distractions. Not all of them are necessarily bad, but they can keep a young person from developing a real passion for spiritual things. During the next half hour here on Homeward, I'm going to continue my conversation with my good friend Barry St. Clair. We're going to keep talking about some practical ways for fueling a passion for God in your kids. So if you're concerned that one of your kids might need to grow a bit stronger in his or her faith, well, you have definitely tuned to the right place. Homeward starts right now. And welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and Jim's continuing conversation with Barry St. Clair on fueling a passion for God in your kids. Now, before we begin today's program, last call for Devotions on the Run. Today's your final opportunity to take advantage of our special monthly offer. You'll receive a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' outstanding devotional called Devotions on the Run as our thank you for your gift of any amount in support of Homeward this month. But today is the final day for you to take advantage of this special offer. So call Homeward toll-free with your gift at 1-866-500-PARENT. That's 1-866-500-7273. Ask for the book Devotions on the Run. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Barry St. Clair with us, a continuing conversation on fueling a passion for God in your kids. It is our heart's desires. It's mom's desires. It's dad's desires. That's what we want. And yet for most of us, we haven't leaned into that muscle very much, the legacy muscle. Barry St. Clair is a friend of mine. He is the founder and director of Reach Out Youth Solutions, noted author, popular speaker, married to Luana. The St. Clairs have 5 children and 8 grandchildren in their blended family, which is a story that we talked about last time. We'll continue this story. They live in the Atlanta area. His daughter Jenny is here with us. She's 20, just got back from China. Beautiful young woman. Now, when Jenny was 14, you were saying before that your wife, her mom, Carol, had died when she was about 11. When she was 14, she found out that you were going to get to be with the president, President Bush. And I think she wanted you to give him a message. Was that the story?
Yeah, I got invited to the White House, which was a huge privilege. I thought, oh man, this is great. So I called home the night before. And Jenny says, Dad, she's going to the White House. You're going to meet the president? I said, I think so. She says, well, you tell him there's a girl in Atlanta named Jenny who thinks he's really cool and she's glad he's the president. I said, Jenny, I'm not going to tell him that. She's, Dad, please, you got to tell him. I said, no, I'm not going to tell him that. So we hung up. And to make a long story short, we were there and he came into the room, about 200 of us. And then he says, afterwards, he made his few good remarks and then he walked out. Says, we're going to have a little fellowship. And I thought he'd be there for 5 minutes and leave. And I was sort of at the end of the line. So by the time I get up there, you know, I'm thinking he's already gone. I wasn't thinking about what I was going to say. And so then I was getting close and I was thinking, now what am I going to say? Because I don't know. I mean, do you ask him about energy or the war? Or what do you ask about? And I said, oh, man. So I got up to shake his hand. And I said, Mr. President, there's a little girl in Atlanta, 14 years old. Her name is Jenny, and she wants you to know she's really cool, and she's glad you're the president. So I ended up saying that to him. And he just laughed and says, well, you tell him, said hello. And it was a great interaction. And actually, after that, I mean, to kind of carry on with the story here, we went through. There was a guy who was supposed to take our picture, and he didn't. Yeah. So when the line kind of got down, a friend of mine, Janice Weidman, we said, okay, well, we're going to go back through there. We got one of those little Kodak disposables, and we went back through, and I said, Mr. President, hi, I'm Barry St. Clair. I was here a minute ago. He says, oh, yeah, you're Jenny's dad.
Well, you know, at Jenny's age at 20, you're probably still now Jenny's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how it is with my kids.
Yeah, and so we went on through, and it was pretty fascinating because we went on through, and I said, well, can we get our picture made with you? And he said, yeah, and I said, can I get your autograph? He said, you want me to make it out to Jenny? And so I've actually got the picture and all that stuff at home. Very cool. I was totally enamored by this opportunity. Right. Later that day, I was running in the mall in Washington, and it was like I just stopped in my tracks as I was thinking, man, that was the coolest thing, meeting the president. Oh, man, this is just so awesome. And it was like the Lord awesome. And it was like the Lord just said to me, Barry, if you love me as much as you love meeting with the president, and we met like that with that kind of enthusiasm every day, we could have a great relationship. And I just stopped. I just stopped and I started thinking about that. I was thinking, Oh, man, Lord, you're right about that. And I think that cutting thing was the thing that I walked away from that with, and another experience I had the day next day where the Lord just showed up in this meeting, and it was awesome presence of God, was that, you know, really, my number one job as a dad is really that, to nurture and deepen and my relationship with God, to walk with Him, to know Him, to love Him with all my heart. And really, the essence of the Parent Fuel book is this, to love God with all my heart, and to lead my kids to do the same.
And that's the essence of parenting in many ways. I know you said the essence of parenting is also to release the fire of faith in the hearts of our kids.
Absolutely.
And yet they're in a culture, Barry, that is really tough today to do that. I mean, even the Christian kids in the Christian schools or the Christian church or whatever, they are struggling with this culture. What do you say to the parent who says, boy, my kids, I want them to have that, you know, the essence of parenting is to help them have this fire of faith, and yet, boy, they're getting bombarded by the culture.
Well, everything mitigates against it. That's why we as parents, absolutely, at this point, at this time in history more than any other, we've got to step in there and take responsibility and really grab hold of the privilege that we have, because really the culture is trying to destroy our kids. The parents oftentimes have abandoned their kids. Yeah. I mean, just drop them off. We're too busy to deal with them on any kind of in-depth level except just get them where they're supposed to go. And then the church struggles to be relevant to them. And yet, here's the encouraging thing for parents. For parents who are listening there, you need to know your kids are hungry for God. God has put that in their hearts. And no matter how it's covered up with this kind of behavior or that kind of rebellion or this kind of attitudes when kids get to be teenagers, inside there, deep inside there, there's that spark. There's that desire, there's that hunger, that God-shaped vacuum that Pascal talked about that's in the heart of every man. I think God's put it there, and we as parents, it's like digging for gold in a sense, because we're the ones who have to go and dig it out.
Yeah, I think there was a phrase that I underlined in your book that said, you have to burn away the junk to find the heart of gold, but there is gold in there. And some parents of teenagers are questioning perhaps if there is gold. You say you have to, as parents, one of your jobs is to guard their hearts. Mm. How do you guard the heart of a child?
Well, that comes from really from Proverbs 4:23, which I think is one of the great verses in the Bible. You know, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And when you study that verse, it's sort of a double guard. I mean, it's a like a city in old ancient times where they built this fortress wall around the city. And the idea was not only to protect the citizenry, but to protect the water supply.
Yeah.
And armies would attack from without, but then there were people who would try to get in from within and destroy the city from within. And I think it's kind of like that with us as parents. You know, we tend to look at the outward behavior, the culture. We got to protect our kids from all this. But really, as much as anything, we've got to internally help them learn how to identify the enemy within, to learn how to look at their own lives, their own weaknesses, their own fallacies, their own flaws, and to God and say, God, you know, I really want to be able to overcome the temptation that's in my life. And when we as parents give input into that and we're involved in that and we're caring about that and we're nurturing our kids in it, then I think they come to a good place of recognition about themselves.
Right. And it is
what's
a good
in
place.
Their hearts.
It's the process, too. I want to keep saying it's a process, because I think sometimes parents say, well, if I only do that once, then it's probably going to be okay.
Oh,
no,
man.
It's a long-term process.
Absolutely.
Another way we demonstrate unconditional love to kids, you say, is by establishing godly, Christ-centered authority in the home. You said early on, you're talking about the parenting season, we discover that without the roof of authority, chaos reigns in the house. I don't think you're talking about the authority where you say you have to do it this way and there's no other way, but you still do have to have authority. What do you mean by having the authority in the house so that chaos doesn't reign?
Well, another place in the book, we talk about how we need to discipline our kids. Mm-hmm. Not rules, okay? So we talked about a little bit before. It's not about rules, but really it's about, because rules is about legalism.
Right.
Biblical discipline now is in the context of grace, and we can discipline our kids in the context of grace. Well, you can't discipline your kids unless you have some authority, and most parents will either drive the car into the ditch of permissiveness, or we drive the car into the ditch of punishment. And really where we want to be is on this from dependence to independence. Well, there's some authority in that. I've got to take responsibility for my kids. It's not just telling them what to do. It's taking my God-given role to say, I'm going to lead this child. I'm going to encourage this child. I'm going to move this child on down the road through the discipline that we develop in the family.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about how we can build respect with our kids, even in the midst of the chaos that sometimes reigns, even in good families. Roger's going to tell you right now how you can get a copy of the book, Parent Fuel. Barry St. Clair has written a great book. We're talking today about fueling a passion for God in your kids. And it is a great day to be able to have this kind of conversation. Very practical, good stuff. More to come on Homeward. Don't go away. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns.
And we'll hear more of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Barry St. Clair in just a moment. First, though, this reminder that today is your final opportunity to receive your copy of Jim's devotional book, Devotions on the Run, is our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward. So call toll-free 1-866-500-PARENT, 1-866-500-7273. And while you're on the line with us, be sure you also ask for ordering information for the double audio CD featuring both days' conversations with Jim and Barry, talking about fueling a passion for God in your kids. 1-866-500-7273. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. In my office, I have a sign that reads, "When you reach the family, you reach the world." And that's really the heartbeat of Homeward. We want to train and mentor parents so they can train and mentor their kids, and then those kids can mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues. Homeward is encouraging parents and building families four ways: listen, click, read, and attend. You're listening to Homeward's broadcast outreach right now. You can also click onto our website for streaming audio and podcasting, and you can download one of the hundreds of free articles and tip sheets available to you there as well online. You can read our daily devotional and our online parenting newsletter and our numerous books, or attend one of the more than 100 parenting seminars we'll do around the country this year. Encouraging parents and building families is what Homeward is all about, and that's why I want to make it easy for you to start receiving our free Good Advice Parenting newsletter. Find out how when you call toll-free 1-866-500-PARENT. That's 1-866-500-7273. Go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Congratulations 2008 is the perfect gift to give the graduate in your world. If there's a high school student or a college-age student who is graduating this year, you'll want to get a copy of the audio and interactive media CD called Congratulations 2008. For more information, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. We're having a great continuing conversation with Barry St. Clair. We're talking about fueling a passion for God in your kids. Got to be intentional about it. Our job is to help guard their hearts. The essence of parenting, he says, is to release the fire of faith in their hearts. And it begins when they're young, if that's possible. And then you begin to keep fanning the fire, if you would. And as that happens, then the Bible says train up a child in the way that they would go. And in the end, they're going to return to it. It doesn't promise that there won't be bumps along the way. Barry, we were talking about authority, but one of the things that I see is I see a lot of kids don't really respect authority, or they don't respect their parents. They don't show respect. And part of that is really our responsibility to act more respectful as parents. You've got something called ways to build up respect. Give us a few of those ways.
Okay. I'll be glad to do that. I think just by way of comment before we jump into that little list, that respect is a huge thing. It does follow after authority. And the authority and the respect follow after relationship, and relationship follows after grace and that spark of God inside. So you kind of have to go, you can't just pick that out and say, hey, my kid needs to be more respectful, or I need to think about respect. You've got to kind of put that in the context of this overall thing that we've been talking about. But when you do, then respect becomes a huge thing. We had three things with our kids: disrespect, dishonesty, disobedience. Those are the things you get punished for. Everything else we can talk through, we can negotiate, we can work on, but those three things are the things we don't allow in our home. And I think that disrespect is a part of my responsibility as a parent to make sure that doesn't become something that where it just unravels and kids begin to be disrespectful. Yeah. I've loved watching my kids with their kids, and it's been fun to see the way those moms particularly are building that respect in their kids. No. Come right over here. We're going to go in this corner, and we're going to talk, and we're going to work that out now. You know, I've loved that. But here are a few of those. I'll give you five out of the 10.
Sure.
How about that?
Good.
Okay? Instead of yelling, speak softly. Instead of speaking negatively, positively express appreciation. Instead of giving the silent treatment, talk openly, especially about feelings. Instead of responding to a request with, "No, because I said so," give reasons why. Instead of insisting they come into your world, enter into their world. And it goes back to something you said earlier. That's a process. You don't do that right. once. You do that every day, and you learn how to be consistent with it. And I think respect is built with consistency over time. We don't always do it right. You know, as parents, sometimes our kids get by with it. Sometimes we're disrespectful to them. Sometimes right. we aren't respectful to our spouse. And so, you know, we're all flawed individuals, but if we keep that in mind as a key component of loving one another, then respect becomes a very essential element within the family.
And really, it's us making right and wise decisions as parents before we lay that on our kids. You know, one of the other ones that I loved in your book of these, you know, you had 10, was instead of always having to be right, confess when you're wrong. I think that's hard for us sometimes. But just the other day, I had Crawford Loretz on our program. And he said that he was having a conversation with his son, and they were actually both on the radio with somebody. And they said, "Well, you know, what do you appreciate about your dad?" And he said, "Well, you know what? It was when my dad went and apologized when he was wrong." You know, we're all wrong at times. Well, I thought, how interesting that that was one of the profound influences. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes the way we bring respect is simply to say, "I'm sorry, I blew it."
Well, you know, in the book, one of the illustrations I used, and my son just reminded me of this a while back, my oldest son, Scott. I was coaching his YMCA basketball team. He was about, I guess he was 8, 9, something like that. And the ref was horrible. You know, the refs are always horrible.
Yeah. Now, wait, I was one of those when I was in college.
The ref was horrible. And I really got, it got to me at so bad at one point that I just slammed the clipboard down on this concrete floor and the whole thing just boom, you know, and everybody's turning to look at me and everything. And so afterwards, I realized, well, you know, that was not what it needed to be. And afterwards, I walked over to the referee, and I, instead of yelling more at him, I just apologized. I asked his forgiveness, and Scott was right there close to me. And he says, "One of the things, Dad, that of my whole, all my grown up years, I remember that more than anything else about you."
Well, that's an important thing. Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's saying that our kids don't even want us to be perfect. They can't identify with perfection, but they do want us to be people of integrity.
Absolutely.
You know, I was thinking of a scripture where the Bible says that the man or woman of integrity walks securely. Their kids will walk securely if they do the right thing, you know, as well. And I think that's part of fueling the fire of faith in their life and fueling this, you know, this fire that you're talking about inside their life. Now, communication is a big thing. And you say feed the fire with communication. There have to be moments where most parents would say, "I thought I was communicating with my kid great, and all of a sudden it just sort of falls apart." And I know you even write in your book about times when it's kind of fallen apart for you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that sort of that illustration with Scott, kind of we can play into that.
Sure.
Because I think really as parents, we our sensitivity to where our kids are and what we're saying to them and what they're saying to us becomes a very important thing. Right. It comes out of that heart thing. When I'm in touch with my own heart, then I tend to be more aware of what I'm saying, how I'm saying it. When we get past all the rules and stuff, "Well, it's because I said so," and you do it because, you know, don't ask me why.
Yeah.
Those are communication killers. And what really builds communication is when we're at a heart level. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you're always talking about these deep, significant issues. You're just, sometimes you're just goofing around. But at the same time, that communication is one where my kids know that when they're talking to me about some goofy thing with their going to the mall, going shopping, whatever, that I really am listening. You know, one kid said this about his dad. He says, "You know what I'm to my dad? I'm a comma. My dad's just waiting for me to say my little part so he can go on and tell me what to do."
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that is so much like so many of us. And I fall into that trap myself. Now, just stop and listen, be quiet, thoughtfully consider what your kids have to say. Mm-hmm. Because what they're saying, if I respect my kids, then I respect what they say and I listen.
And that makes all the difference in the long term. That's what they are going to remember. I agree.
Now, when they get to be teenagers, they go into a cave.
Sure.
So as a parent, you got to be willing to, you know, stick your hand down the cave. You don't know whether what's down there is going to lick it or bite it, you know, but they go into a cave and communication gets to be tough at that point. And you just got to keep the relationship is the most important thing. If parents can remember, hey, look, it's not the behavior, it's not this, it's not whether they're always doing exactly or having the best attitude. It's the relationship that really counts in the end.
No, that really does matter. I appreciate you continuing to come back to the relationship, because that is so true. Now, you have a powerful principle that says, don't let disappointment douse the fire in the hearts of your kids. What do you mean by that?
Well, of course, we went through this whole death thing with Carol, and then I got remarried, and that was disappointing to my kids in the sense that I married this beautiful woman who was the wife of one of my best friends who died of cystic fibrosis, a friend of ours named Dave Busby.
Sure.
But that was very hard for my kids, and it was like disappointment was everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. My whole life feels like it's just let me down. It's like Scott Peck says in his book, Road Less Traveled, life is hard. I think my kids begin to experience that for that time. And in this chapter in the book, I tried to lay out for parents the fact that, you know, our responsibility with our kids is to walk with them through the disappointments of life, and that life is going to bring disappointments. And a lot of times the biggest mistake we make as parents is to try to rescue our kids out of those things where there are disappointments, where there's suffering, where there's difficulty. It's like, no, I'll go buy them something. I'll go take them to the mall. We'll go to a movie. No, just let the disappointments be, and let God use that to work in their lives in ways that He could never work otherwise.
That's a great comment, and you know, time's up, but that's a great reminder for all of us. And Barry St. Clair, I appreciate you so much being with us today.
Thanks, Jim. It's always great to be with you.
Well, my thanks again to Barry St. Clair for joining me on the program today. We've been talking about fueling a passion for God in your kids. Great subject today, and this is a subject that is so important for each of us as parents to kind of get our arms around. It's not easy, hard to lean into this subject, but very important and very, very practical. Frankly, can be life-changing for our kids, and really from generation to generation. Now, I realize that you might be listening to me right now and thinking, well, that may sound way too easy. Well, believe me, it is not easy. It takes a lot of hard work on our part to fire up a passion for God in the lives of our children, and it can even take a lot of work to keep that fire burning. But you know what? It is our responsibility to do so as parents. We can't put all that pressure on the church or on youth workers or children's workers to get that job done. Now, I can understand how you might be feeling about this subject. Perhaps you didn't have parents who modeled faith in your home, and so you might not be sure how to set an example for your own kids in this particular area. However, all this means that you are a part of what I like to call the transitional generation. You're establishing spiritual legacy in the lives of your children, and as you establish that spiritual legacy in the lives of your children, they're going to pass it on to your grandchildren, to generations beyond. So don't try to be perfect in this area, but be intentional. The big word here is intentional. Be proactive. Take advantage of every opportunity you can to fuel that fire of faith in the lives of your children. You've got to ask other adults in your world to get involved in that process as well. I know that for my wife, Kathy, and I have been blessed to be able to count, what, 6 adults who speak spiritually into the lives of each of our 3 girls. And there's no magic number, but we've chosen these particular 6 adults. Kathy and myself, we've chosen godparents, even though that's not been a natural part of our tradition. And then praying grandma, as well as a wonderful kind of a intern mentor to them. And it really has made a difference in their spiritual growth. We were just talking about it last night. But most importantly, remember to nourish your own spiritual growth as well. A lot of times we're so focused on our kids that we're not nourishing the spiritual growth in our own lives. Don't let the breathless pace of modern life keep you from spending quality time with God each day, and I really want to encourage you to do that. And now here's Roger to tell you about some information on a special resource you can use to maximize your time with the Lord, as well as maximize some special family times. Roger?
Well, the book is called Devotions on the Run. It's written by Dr. Jim Burns, and it's 50 different devotional entries. As Jim likes to say, it's a scripture and a story. It's something you can do in less than 10 minutes each day. You can use Devotions on the Run individually in your own quiet time if you want to kickstart time of daily devotions in your own life, or you can use it with your family as well. It's a great resource to have. It's very, very practical. Now, this month we've been offering the book Devotions on the Run as our thank you for your gift of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward. Today is the final day you can take advantage of this special offer, so don't wait. Call Homeward toll-free right now at 1-866-500-PARENT. That's 1-866-500-7273. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry. We'll thank you for that donation by sending you a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book called Devotions on the Run. But today is your final day to to take advantage of this offer, so you'll want to act now. 1-866-500-PARENT is the toll-free number to call. 1-866-500-7273.
Well, thank you, Roger, and I appreciate all that you do for our program as Mr. Producer and Ben Camp, as well as our sound engineer. We have fun doing this program. This was a very important program as well. Well, please know how much I appreciate your support of Homeward, and I hope you'll join us next time. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.